The first reads in the Epistle to the Romans. Got a few short scriptures. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commends his love to us, in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. And in the Gospel according to John in chapter 15, just a couple of verses again here. John 15 and verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And then verse 13. No one has greater love than this, that the one should lay down his life for his friends. Yea, my friends, if you practice whatever I command you. Just wanted to talk just a little bit, share together. As we were sharing this morning, and I suspect many were, we have this appreciation of the love that has been shown to us. And it was just something striking me that as we look through the Bible, you can go from start to end, and it's the entire story of the love of God. You can see at the start the glimmer of that love. For example, you've got the coats of skin that you can draw out. You can see God's in his mercy and in his love. Doesn't end things right at the beginning. He says, I know what's happened and I have a way to solve it. And then we go all the way through to the end of the book and we see the end state where the love of God is fully known. And we're in a remarkable day where it's been revealed to us that the heart of the Almighty God is one of love. That wasn't something that was fully known years and years ago. It took the coming of the Lord Jesus to make it known. You were privileged to have that message. So, just pick up in Romans firstly, just because that's foundational, just illustration of God commending his love to us. I'd just like us to think of what the practical effect of the love of God is. That what that means is he does not want you to fall a prey to sin. He knows that that's our nature, for we are a fallen race and we know that. We know that we're not capable of fully doing what's right. I suspect most of us have tried and failed. But God, in his love, won't let that be. He has reached out to us. He wants us to be right with him. That was the message of the garden right at the beginning. Jehovah wanted to spend time with man and his wife. There was intention for communion there, for enjoying the presence in the garden. That wasn't possible because of their failures. And their failures are our failures. But in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. God moved. God took action. God did not want you to stay in your sin. And God wanted you to be with him. So that's why I just started in Romans, just as a little introduction to really the pervasiveness of the love of God throughout all of history that we have recorded for us. Before we ever knew, before we were ever worth anything. And then just picking up in John. And I just wanted to go on to another scripture after this, which in some ways is a bit duplicative of what we have in John. But I just wanted to read this because these are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. As I said before, the only reason that we understand the heart of God the love of God, is because Jesus made it known. Otherwise we couldn't have known. And so we have here the Lord speaking and saying that the Father has loved me, I also have loved you, abide in my love. We see how love has come down from on high and spread out to all of us. In this way, it's just pervasive across everyone. The love of God is towards all of us. It's up to us to respond. But there is enough love for anyone and everyone. And then we see the cost involved too. And this is the depth of the love of our Lord Jesus, who himself was the sacrifice for sin. In his love, he took that place. There we see the depth of the love that we're dealing with, that was willing to set you aside so that you didn't feel the anger of God, the wrath of God upon you. That went upon Jesus. Lay down his life for his friends. No greater love than this. I remember, you can read in all different scriptures through the Bible of how you get the message coming through of sometimes from the person of the Father, sometimes from the person of the Lord Jesus, but speaking directly of the love that is reaching out to you. And it's a love that's desiring an answer. It's, as say, as we say elsewhere, it's full and free. But we have to accept it. We have to reach out ourselves in response. I just wanted to just pick up in the epistle, the first epistle of John, chapter 4. As I say, it overlaps a bit with what we had. But here we've got the reflections of a man who had known the love of God, the love of Jesus. He had walked with Jesus. He had deep experience of this person. And when this person was taken away from him, as he ascended into heaven, he continued in that experience day by day. And we see from his gospel, from his epistles, we can see what these things really meant to him. This is somebody who had lived it day by day, and it was something he clung to. So, if you're just reading the first epistle of John, chapter 4, and verse 8. For God is love. Herein as to us has been manifested the love of God, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we may live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son a propitiation for our sins. This nicely brings together the two different sides that I've been talking about. Because you talk about the love of God and you talk about the love of Jesus. In many ways they're the same, but there are important distinctions in how we understand them. Love of God, we see how God himself has made this way possible. And we have in the gospel, I think it was last week, about the sacrifice that was there when Abraham and Isaac, and then there was a sacrifice substituted. And that was a reminder to us of this time when there was no substitution, but you still have the relationship of the Father and the Son. And I can't really explain the depth of feeling from the side of God himself giving up his Son to die. It wasn't an easy matter. You can look on you can look on past and say, yes, he was raised. You know, it's just a brief dip through, and he ticked it off and he finished it. But that doesn't really encompass the depth of feeling involved, the cost that was taken, but both on the side of God in having to do this. Just think of the punishment you deserve. God had to put that upon his son to deal with it. And then, of course, as we have been thinking, from the side of the Lord Jesus, going that way, accepting that punishment. We have the experience in the Garden of Gethsemane that just reminds us of, you know, this is just one small foreshadowing of what would be. Because when we got to the actual event, it was all dark because there was too much for us to understand. And the beauty of it is we see what this meant to God and to the Lord Jesus, is that this was all foreknown. As I mentioned in Gethsemane, that was looking on to the cross. It was completely clear to divine persons what would happen, the effect of it. And there was no thought of turning aside. So this then leads us into verse 50. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and have believed the love which God has to us. God is love, and he that abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Herein has love been perfected with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, that even as he is, we also are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has torments, and he that fears has not been made perfect in love. We love because he has first loved us. That's the state I would want all of you to be in. That is the true calling of mankind. To be beyond the issue of sin. To be beyond the fear of punishment from God. To know and have confessed that Jesus is Son of God. Have accepted that you can't do anything for your sin, but Jesus has already done it. And in his love has made it freely available. You just need to accept. And we get that beautiful verse here. We love because he has first loved us. We didn't have anything to give at the start, but we have received from God everything we need. So I don't have much more to say. I'd just like to leave you with, just consider the depth of the love of God towards you and the outstretched hand from the Lord Jesus, who in his love has done everything that you need. You have to accept it. You have to take his hand. May we all know what it is to be in the love of God.
Amen.